Thank you for listening to the Grace Church podcast. You are listening to the series entitled Revealing Grace by Eric Platt, where he is taking us through a study of the Greek and the Hebrew language and how that applies to our understanding of the message of grace. If you would like to learn more about Grace Church or find other messages, please visit us at graceorlando.com.
All right, welcome to Bible study today. What we're going to talk about is something that's very near and dear to my heart. And when it is properly understood, it transforms a person from the inside out. In Ephesians 1:17-18, it says that the eyes of your understanding may be opened, that you may know what is the hope and the glorious, rewards of all the saints. And so in that, we want our understanding to be enlightened. I'm not going to go through the Greek breakdown of that because we have a lot on the board today. Good morning, Richard. And so anyways, let's take a look at what our topic is for today. God's love for you gives you value. If there's any other way that you get your value besides God's love for you, and we're going to explain what that means, that can put you in a place of stress. I mean, just think about it. If your behavior depends on God loving you, well, the good is never good enough and the bad is always bad enough. So you find yourself in a place where you don't really function the way that you ought to, okay? And so we want to be very careful of what we listen to. Always check up on what people are teaching you to make sure that it's correct. And that's including with me. I can make mistakes up here too. I'm not perfect. But always do that so that you know, okay, what I'm being taught is correct, okay? And so anyways, the first thing we're going to look at is a couple of definitions of the word love, okay? So we better understand it. Good morning. First, we're going to do the Hebrew. So the Hebrew word for love is ahab. Everybody say ahab. Okay, and I'm going to write this out in the Hebrew for you as well, which will be an aleph. It will be a hey, and it will be a bet. And just so you know, Hebrew's always written from right to left. And there's 22 consonants with 5 final forms. They don't have any vowels. So what they have is what is called nikuts, which are vowel markings that they put under letters for pronunciation purpose. So for example, for this, I won't usually do this, but I'm just doing it in case some of you want to go deeper into Hebrew and you want to understand it more. So there's 2 A sounds right here, which would be a line there and a line there. So that would be ahab. Okay? Yes, sir.
Wasn't there a king with that name?
Ahab.
Yeah. Is it the same word?
Oh, it is very similar word. Yes, sir.
Eric.
Yeah.
Eric.
Hold on. Let's not do the questions. And
no, I just don't want to say, you see, hab in Italian, translated abba. Means a father.
Oh, yeah, interesting. Well, just guess what we're going to learn from this. So anyways, so Aleph and Bet is the word father. Ab, that's the word for father in Hebrew, okay? And so you take this, which is father, and hey is a picture of a window that is revealing something. And it, because it's in the center, it's the heart revealing something. So what love is the Father's heart revealed. Mm, yes, by the way, hey also means grace. So basically it could say the Father's heart revealing grace. Now, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Also, Paul says that he is the image of the invisible God. So get this picture just while we're here. When this word love is a picture of God taking his heart and laying it down to be spit on, to be beaten, to be flogged, to be crucified for me and for you. That's what love is. It's the cross. And it's a beautiful picture in the Hebrew for that. Amen? So now let's look at some of the Greek. Now, so when you read the word love in the Gospels or in the Epistles, there's 4 different words. I'm not going to write them all down, but I am going to go through them. There's 4 different words for love. There is agape, which is God's unconditional love. Then there's storge, which is family love. Then there is phileo, which is brotherly love. And then there's eros, which is where we get the word erotic. I don't think we need to go any further with that word. Everybody gets the picture. Okay, good. Okay, so this word right here, she's like, hey. This word right here would be equivalent to agape. Okay, so exactly. All right, so now let's always use scripture to interpret things. So 1 John 4:10, it says, now this is love. This is John, the one who put his head on the bosom of Jesus, the one who he said of himself, I am the disciple whom Jesus loves. He had a revelation, okay? And so he writes, now this is love. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave his son as a propitiation for us. Now this is love that he gave his son. You seen how with the heart and him giving his heart? As a propitiation. So the word propitiation is the Greek word hilasterion, and it means an atoning victim. That means he was a price that was paid to redeem us. See, let me tell you this. We think people get saved and they understand everything about Jesus. No, they don't. We didn't know anything when we got saved. It took years of renewing the mind to where we come to the place of revelation that we're growing in the love of God. I do a teaching on the size of the love of God. You know, it'll blow your mind. We're not there yet, but we will get to it. But he says, now this is love. Not that we loved him. Remember what I told you, it's important that you know your behavior never determines God's love for you. Well, Eric, is what we do important? Yeah. For you and for the people around you? Yeah, it's important. But as far as God's concerned, it's always starting with him and his love to you. Not ever your love for him. Wow. Now, this is love. Good morning, Colleen. It's okay. Not that we loved him, but that he loved us and gave. It's the Greek word gave is didomihi. Bestow as a free gift. So anyways, then it goes into 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. You seen how this is starting to roll? You see how your life is about receiving his love for you? And then we love. Can I tell you, loving is effortless. Even if you're having a problem like loving somebody, God will work it in you, but when that love does come through, it will be effortless. Hey, and listen, I'm talking off 20 years experience here. I didn't just like, you know, study this stuff and then I'm bringing it to you. This is what I've walked through in my own life with these kind of things, and it's effortless. It might not happen immediately, and it might need to be worked in you, and you might need to receive that love and get you to a place to where you can love, but when it does come through, it's effortless. Amen? Okay, so today's story is about a little girl, and her family was very poor, and her heart's desire was this expensive dollhouse that they could never afford, and so she wanted it for Christmas, and her father couldn't get it for her, and the father did something after that Christmas. And he wasn't an educated man, so he had to work a bunch of extra jobs. So whenever he wasn't working his normal job, which just made them get ends meet, he worked all these extra jobs that were very degrading. And he videotaped each one of them. And through a whole year, he worked to be able to buy that dollhouse. And so Christmas came around, and the wrapping paper came off. And she's like, Daddy, it's exactly what I wanted. And she loved that dollhouse. But the girl grew up. And eventually the dollhouse ended up in the garage where all kids' toys, if you've had children, you know all kids' toys end up to be, okay? And she grew up and she went off to college. And she was starting to hang out with people that, you know, weren't really becoming of who she was. And she got into some things that she wasn't supposed to. Mm-hmm. Just like we all can. And so she got to the point where she wasn't answering the calls from her family. And they tried time and time and time and time again. So the father took all those recordings of all the times that he worked and how degraded he was when he worked and how badly he was treated when he worked. He sent all the videos to his daughter. The daughter watched the videos. She never realized the price that was paid for her to get that dollhouse. So one night, the parents are sleeping and they hear a noise in the garage and they think it's a burglar. And they go down there and it's the little girl with her arms wrapped around that dollhouse crying. She never went back with those people again that she was with because she finally realized the price that was paid for her to be loved. Romans 5, 8. But God demonstrated. That word demonstrate means to put on as an art exhibit his own love toward us. And that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Let me tell you this once, I'll tell you it again. Your love will never determine how God loves you. But his love is steadfast and it never changes. Because another scripture says God is love. God is this. God is this. Doesn't matter what language it's in, God is. So trying to get you to understand if you don't now or add to the understanding that you have of this already, we're going to go to John 15:5. So do you know the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control? It's called fruit. Against such there's no law. It's called fruit, not work. You don't work to love. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm going to prove this. I got scriptures for you. I'm going to prove this. But I'm just walking you through it, okay? So there's no us loving God for him to love us. That doesn't exist in God's world. If that were true, then grace would not be what it is today. Amen. So John 15:5. And by the way, before that, in Galatians, it says, the works of the flesh are evident. So do you know the law? When you put yourself under law, can you be a believer and put yourself under law? Absolutely. I've been there. It destroyed me. Thank God it destroyed me because then I was ready for grace. You know what I mean? I'm thankful for the law for the reason why God gave the law, which was to utterly destroy me, to bring me to my very end, to take every bit of self-righteousness I have and level me so that when grace showed itself, it was the greatest thing in the world that I could ever dream or imagine. And to this day, when I think about the forgiveness of sins, when I think about how righteous I am, I've just, tears come down my face. It's just, it's so incredible. It's beyond words. It can't be explained with words. It's futile to even try to explain with words. But when you encounter it and you experience it, it will change your life. So it says, now the works of the flesh are evident. So basically, when you put yourself under law, it stirs up sin and it brings forth all these things. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, hatred, contentions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So anything like those things. That's what the law produces when you put yourself under it. But when you're under grace, what comes out? Love. And in the Greek, agape. Unconditional love. It's a fruit. It's not something that we manufacture in of ourselves. It's what God works in us to will and to do for his good pleasure, and that comes out. And isn't it interesting? The first one's love. So everyone is in conjunction to love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, even self-control. Love. So anyways, in John 15, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches. By the way, this was a prophetic chapter. This chapter wasn't for them right now because nobody was in the vine. Why? You had to be born again to be in the vine. So nobody was in the vine. This John 15 was a prophetic chapter that was so that they would, the Holy Spirit would bring it back to their remembrance. They're like, ah, we're in the vine now. I didn't know what that meant before, but now I know what it means. It means to be born again. And isn't it awesome that you could receive all this and still not even know what you have, and take a lifetime and still never know all what you've received? And that way it never gets old, because you can always keep learning and learning and learning. I'm amazed. I'll go back to scriptures like, why didn't I never see that? And I've been studying this book for 20 years. And matter of fact, the more that I find out that I know, the more I find out I don't know. And that's humbling. You know, you're there, all right, man, I've been studying for 20 years. I really don't got this. He's showing me new stuff that it was there the whole time that I never saw it. And it's by his grace that he has opened the eyes of my understanding to be able to see, just like he has with you. Have you ever noticed, like, you try to explain grace to somebody and they just look at you, one eyeball going one way, one eyeball going another way, and they have no clue what you're saying? The eyes of their understanding have not been enlightened yet. But ours have. Let's count ourselves blessed. And be patient with those people, because one day they will get it. Praise God. Amen? Amen? His word doesn't return back void, you know? So John 15, I am the vine, you are the branches. By the way, the 10 times abide is mentioned in chapter 10. It's the same Greek word meno, okay? And it means to stay in a place of relation. Okay? All right. But we're going to define all this so it better helps you to understand. So I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and me in him shall bring forth much fruit. It's not, hey, maybe you'll bring forth some fruit. You shall bring forth much fruit. So what's abide mean? I'm going to get into to the rest of that, but I'm going to jump to chapter 14, verse 16, where it says, I will pray to the Father, and he will send you another comforter. I love how they use the word comforter for the Holy Spirit. Isn't that what we need in a world that is just gone, just mad?
Yeah.
We need a comforter. I love how they use that word, comforter. And I'll send you another. Another means just like, in other words, what Jesus was saying is, hey, you like having me around? The Holy Spirit, he's going to be just like me. That's what another means, just like. And you shall bring forth much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Okay, we're going to get to that. But chapter 14, verse 16, okay, basically says that I'll pray for you, and the Father will send you another comforter, okay, and he shall abide with you, abide in you forever. So the idea, there's a lot of teachings on this chapter, John 15. Number one, it's prophetic. It is for us now, but when it was going out, you know, and it was being spoken to disciples, it didn't have anything to do with them right now, but what was to come. But abide in you forever. So we know abiding isn't something we can get in and out of based on what we do or what we don't. And if that was the case on those scriptures, then grace is gone. Because if you do that on that, you got to do it on righteousness. And if you do it on righteousness, we're all through. If we're not righteous, you know, and established in righteousness that we can never lose, even nothing you do, you can't lose your righteousness. Why? Because you didn't make yourself righteous. Mm-hmm. Well, Eric, I got a free will. I made some choices. Yeah, but do you understand? When you said yes to Jesus, you became righteous and you can never get out of it.
Amen.
You can make a choice, but you can't change the consequence. Usually people want to use that in a negative way, but I'm going to use it in a positive way here. Okay, so John 15. So I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him. So now we know that's forever. The Holy Spirit will abide in you forever. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo, forever. You got this part of the Godhead that lives inside you. Forever. My gosh, you want to talk about life and life more abundantly? That's it. Like Javen's been talking about, like we look at our outer circumstances and, you know, we get all down about them. It happens to me, you know, time it happens. But we have life abiding in us. That spirit abides in us. Wow. And if you look at all the different things that he is, everything you need, he got you covered. Whatever it is, okay? In John 15, it says, apart is Corey and, sorry, Chorus. And it basically means apart, that you are separated apart all by yourself. He's going to show them, hey, listen, you can't bring anything. in of yourself. Nothing. And then what's the last word? Loden you can do nothing, which means not one single thing. Wow. So anything good that comes out of us, he gets the glory. I don't care what it is. Don't ever turn around and be like, man, I did that. Pump those brakes, put it in reverse, go back to the scripture, nothing. Isn't that awesome? Man, there's been times in my life that, like, usually how I would react, and I didn't react, and I just felt the presence of God through that, and it was like, man, you're humbled, but you have gratitude at the same time because you know you didn't do it, especially when it comes to self-control. Like I was telling you, I used to get mad riding my motorcycle because people would just cut you off, disregard you, flip you off, all these different things that they would do and didn't even care. I mean, my wife's on the line here. And like I said, I've chased people down before. It wasn't the right thing, but you can understand where I would get that anger from. And man, I just told him one day, I was like, you know, I was talking with some people at work and we were talking about it. And I was just like, yeah, I don't want to do that anymore. And he changed my desire and took away that anger when I drive. Or I'll get angry, but I'll cut off the street real quick and go somewhere else. You know what I mean? So that changed a lot in my quality of motorcycle riding, which is just important to me. You might not understand it, but whatever your favorite thing to do is, whatever it may be, that's my thing. So real quick for my personal testimony, and then we'll go ahead and end and open up for questions. When I was in church, I won't mention the church because I'm not trying to throw them on the spot. But when I was in church, basically what you did determined God's love for you. And that's pretty much what was taught. I mean, in some form, that was the impression that at least that was left.
Quid pro quo.
And so I became the greatest servant. Dun, da, da. I volunteered for everything. I sacrificed everything. I thought I can't enjoy anything for myself. I have to give it all away. Then God loves me. And you know what? All that came crashing down to an end too. Because I couldn't keep it up. I kept it up for about 7 years. And after that, it was like, you know, yeah, for a long time. Oh, but if I look back, I didn't do it all perfectly. It was still fall short. But like in my mind, you know, coming from the life I came from, being a drug addict, lying, cheating, stealing every day, to this, I look like an angel. You know what I mean? So, you know. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I had a little halo and it wasn't too crooked, you know, that kind of stuff. And so, I you know, for me, knowing God loves me and it has nothing to do with me changed me. I tell my wife stories about the things I used to do. She goes, I just can't see it. You're darn right you can't see it because that's not who I am anymore. Anybody know who Amy Simple McPherson is? You know, they just came out with a movie on her where they trashed it. They had no idea about this woman. They just, you know, they just used part of what the story was. But I just saw the how they show like a little sample of the movie. Trailer. Yeah, trailer. I just looked at the trailer. I was like, dude, that's not Amy Simple McPherson. We used to go to her church. And not when she was there, but after she left it behind. And we were part of Angelus Temple. And I know, right? Wouldn't that be funny? And so she had a divorce. And of course, you know, back then, I mean, it's not as bad now. Like if somebody has a divorce, people still get on them. But, you know, and you never, hey, if anybody in here has, you don't ever have to worry. God loves you all the same as if you had never had a divorce. You don't even have to ever worry about that again. And this woman came, you know, probably very stringent, probably very legalistic. It's a true story. And, you know, aren't you that woman? And she looked her dead in the eyes and she says, I don't know that woman. She's dead.
Uh-huh. Praise God.
We're dead from that.
That's right.
Yes. Necros. We are dead from that person. We do not exist anymore. God does not see that person anymore. It's been crucified, died, buried, resurrected, and ascended and sat at the right hand of the Father. That's how he sees us now. And that's how he can love us the way he does now, because that old life and that old person isn't a part of anything God sees anymore. Matter of fact, according to John, when Jesus was coming to the Jordan, he said, "Look, behold, the Lamb of God that comes to take away, not cover, not atone, but take away the sins of the world." So as you leave today, I want you to leave with a weight taken off of you for anything you might have been carrying. Because see, it's not the big things, because most of us don't have those in our lives anymore. God's delivers. It's the little things the enemy will use against you to try to condemn you, to make you think that God doesn't love you. And we would think those small things, could they really? Absolutely. I've sat with counseling person after counseling person after counseling person. And they come back, "Man, you don't understand, man. I didn't do what, you know, they said in the program," you know, because we used to work with a program at the Dream Center. And they were all bent out of shape, like God didn't love them anymore. And I have to sit there and reaffirm with them, God loves you just as you are. It doesn't ever change. That's the truth. Amen.